Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hook up. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hook Up is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hook Up. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hook Up, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and Facebook and YouTube Live. Pete Gray here along with Rock Cod Rick Mexa and the world headquarters here in a beautiful Southern California sunny day next to Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. This is an amazing show. Tom Green, Carl Savonis, and Adrian Ojeda are here. The fish spotters are in the house. And we have so many texts. We had a bunch of phone calls on the fan there. We're going to get to as many as we can here, and we're giving away a phenomenal prize, right?
Well, you're not kidding, man, and such a huge thanks to Captain Cameron on board the Mission Bell. One lucky caller or texter is going to go fishing on a full-day trip at a Point Loma Sport Fishing, thanks to Cameron. And then along with that, this amazing calendar that Carl put together, the Air Pelikia calendar for 2026. Yeah. This is a collection of amazing photos and a really nice spiral-bound calendar. You're stoked. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
And again, like Pete, we were saying, if you're looking for a cool holiday gift for a fisherman or just a photography enthusiast, it's an awesome one, and you can find them at Carl's Instagram, which is just Air Pelikia. And if you don't follow it already,
it's a really good follow, no doubt about it. Either one.
Well, again, we're having a great show here this morning. If you want to join us in the second hour, the best way to do it, the only way to do it, is through the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's how you text your questions into the show. And if you want to get your shot at winning that great calendar or a trip going fishing on board the Mission Bell, send us a text through the Let's Talk Hookup app and make sure you include your contact info. I can assure you, we no longer need a text that says, "What's the craziest thing you've seen on the water?" There's about 50 of those so far. But we're having a great time, man. Send those texts through. We're going to look forward to a full hour reading those as we get rolling along.
Well, let's find out what's biting.
You got it, man. It's time for our fishdope.com report. Captain Mark Wish, the private boater buddy, today is sponsored by Gamakatsu. They've got an amazing lineup of fishing accessories now available that include fillet knives, everyday carry knives, those killer G-boxes, and bags, as well as a great assortment of ways to store your tackle. They've got the ceramic braid scissors and more, along with the very best in freshwater and saltwater hooks. You can see your local dealer or check gamakatsu.com for more information. We got him. Captain Mark Wish is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Well, good morning, Ricky, Pete, Tom, Carl, Adrian. You got just an incredible team put together there, Pete. You got to sign these guys up again.
We got to thank Tom and Carl and Adrian for coming in. Tom really was the kind of the ringleader, wasn't he? They put it all together.
That's a hell of a way to put it.
So thank you guys. Yeah, thanks, Mark.
No, it's awesome. I love listening to this kind of stuff. It's hard to work on my notes here.
Sorry.
Too much fun listening to you guys. But definitely feels like wintertime out there, guys. It was 42 on my patio yesterday morning. I much prefer summertime, I got to tell you. But flat, calm. So it's pretty good conditions, you know, for guys going out and about. You know, we definitely had a little more coverage here with the nice weather. So starting local, main effort has been directed at those codfish out there in the deeper water. There, the rock fishing's been really good. Cod's biting. Deep water spots on the southeast bank have been really good. I had friends out there fishing 825 feet, electric reels, of course, and big reds, big groupers, a bunch of other miscellaneous stuff. But what was interesting is they also had a bunch of baby cow cod, like 3 to 5 pounders. And obviously you can't keep them. You got to have your descending devices handy, you know, so you can let them go back down. But man, it's great to see the population of that cow cod rebounding the way it is. But what's surprising is that area they're fishing, you know, back in the old days, you know, you never saw a 3 to 5 pounder because the 20 pounders would probably eat them. But they're not catching any big ones. It's just all these little ones. So who knows? But with the water temps still in the 60s, local bass fishing still pretty good. Squid on a leadhead on the local structure spots has been working really good. Calico bass and sand bass both. And then it's getting toward the time where guys start poking around that deeper water halibut. Every year the areas are a little different. You know, they move up and down here, in and out a little bit. But Longinus Verdes out there around the hard bottom spots on the Horseshoe, and then down off Huntington Beach has all been standard good stuff the past few years, so we'll just see how this season shakes out. And then over at Catalina, winter season's definitely shaping up. Lots of squid, tonnage of squid, actually. The island's just loaded. Backside east from the V's to Salta Verdes has got a big area of bait there, and then up west from West Cove down to Lobster Bay has been pretty good squidding up that way, too. And there's been a sprinkle of sea bass on it. There's been some big ones, no volume, but definitely a few around. Better sign on the yellowtail, good grade yellows, 15 to 20 pounds like that. And then it's also the time of year to start thinking halibut, that halibut fishing up on the shallow beaches. You know, last night I was going through my notes for the past 3 years, I think it was, and every year, just about this time, late November, early December, is when that halibut starts showing up really shallow on the beaches. And this year is the same. It's already been pretty good fishing. So we got a lot of that to look forward to. And then, you know, in terms of offshore fishing, you know, not much other than, like you heard, the tributes out there on the bank scooping up the bluefin. That's just crazy that that's still going on. So, you know, with the nice weather we got and it's got a pretty long stretch of it coming, it looks like it. Definitely time to go fishing, guys.
Yeah, well, and of course, fishdope.com. Danny and the boys will have all the information for you. $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW. Your $30 code, and how do we find you, Mark? Now would be a very good time to order a bait tank, I would think.
You know, it actually would be because we're a little slower than normal, so yeah. Deliveries are shorter, and we can get right on it and get going for you. So, yeah, we fix you right up with that. And, hey, I got to mention, the exotic of the week is not a fish, but I was driving up. We got the boat hauled out in Newport right now. I was driving up from the shipyard yesterday morning, and lo and behold, on one of the light poles on Pacific Coast Highway is a bald eagle sitting there.
Wow.
I haven't seen a bald eagle around here in a long, long time.
Yeah,
so
in Huntington Beach.
Cool.
Nice to see that. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Cool, Mark. Sure. Well, hey, well, that sounds like a good sighting. You don't have to look at the Big Bear camera. You can just see them right in your backyard.
Oh, that those guys are stars. You see them everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then there's a bunch of those cameras on Catalina also. You know, love to watch the eagles up there on the west end. And
There's
another one by Two Harbors. And
you guys see those when you're flying around? You ever fly next to a bald eagle? Yeah, you've seen them, Carl. Yeah,
by the west end, usually it's where I've seen them.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, hey, Mark, thanks a lot for all that. And
Hang on.
You got more.
You think Mark's not got a question in that arsenal? Come on.
Only one question here, although I can ask a thousand. But, Carl, you fly around our area, you know, the Long Beach, Catalina, Clemente area a lot, and we have pretty good fishing on the Marlin, you know, kind of on the inside of Catalina. But I was wondering if you saw much marlin anywhere else this season in your travels.
It's hard to say. I saw a few up by Santa Barbara Island here and there, but this year was an odd year for me. I didn't fly nearly as much as I normally do because the Saners were fishing squid all summer. But, I just didn't get out that much. You know, I hate to say it, but, I mean, I've seen them in years. You know, obviously everybody has up at Santa Cruz, you know, where they just get thick. I've seen them everywhere at the Santa Rosa Flats. I've seen big, you know, like either a blue or black out by the 381.
Wow.
You know, up that way. One day I had some Saner call me up or somebody, I can't remember, said, oh, we got a big old swordfish over here. I go, that's a black or a blue. I don't know what that is.
Wow.
That thing's big, you know, just, but, stuff like that. I think they like the area, the 14 and the Avalon Bank and Catalina, you know, they get around it.
That green.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
But they leave for some reason. For some reason, they go to Santa Cruz for a week or two, or 2 weeks they're up there, and they're up there. I think they might have been up there this year, but I can't remember because I only flew up there one or two days.
That's cool.
That's a lot.
Well, hey, appreciate that report, Mark. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Okay, you got it. We'll see you guys.
See you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, let's head over to the Tribute. Marco's prepped you, Mike. So we got Mike from the Tribute on. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Doing great. Hey, Marco said you're catching them, huh?
We just got up to limits. We just finished it off, and
jeez,
we're gonna go.
Wait a minute! It's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you should look at your calendar, man. You're not supposed to be doing that at 8 o'clock in December.
No, and you know what the best part is? That the weather is flat, greasy, just as nice as it gets. But, you know, we talk about it a lot this time of year. Is, you know, hard to get people, hard to get off the dock. We had our 28 people on this trip, and every one of them is. Had a great morning pulling on fish, and yeah, we're up to 56.
I love it, man.
Wow.
Good for you, Mike. That's so cool.
That's now what?
So we're, there's yellowtail and rockfish, and
I think we lost him there.
We lost him.
Yeah, he's not on there.
He dropped out. So
what a trip!
Yeah, what a trip.
Well, hopefully Mike will call back.
Yeah.
I'm sure he will. And you know, and again, I mean, it just goes to show how good that fishing can be in December. You string together nice days like this, and that fish didn't go anywhere. And,
yeah.
I mean, you said it best. What a good time to get to sneak away too. I mean, this is the time of year. You know, business gets a little slow. It's a little easier to sneak out on a weekend trip or
sure.
Get enough people. He can go to another day. But I'm sure Mike will call us. But if you wanted to jump on, I'm sure he's got trips available.
He's got trips, especially with the stretch of weather we're going to have here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
No reason.
Speaking of sneaking away, how about sneaking away for the new year? There's a couple of opportunities. The American Angler has a couple of spots left on their January 3rd through 13th 10-day. It's a Ken's Custom Reel trip. Ken will be there. And then the next day, the Indy, both boats, almost impossible to get a trip on.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is great opportunities. The Independence has an 11-day that leaves on Sunday the 4th. Limited load 24, and they just lowered the price on that trip too.
Hey.
So it's super limited load on that. So for the American Angler, check AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com or check IndependentSportFishing.com for Independence, or call our friend Paulina in the office there at 619-226-6006. And that's again American Angler January 3rd through the 13th, and then the Independence January 4th through the 15th.
And the fishing this year, that 10-day ridge fall fishing, it's one of the best it's been in a bunch of years.
Yeah.
Everything is at play right now. There's very good wahoo fishing to be had. There's big tuna on the lower banks.
Yep.
There's medium-sized tuna on the ridge. There's yellowtail up and down
Blue
the coast.
Bluefin, yellowfin.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the, you know, the all the sights from the boats. There was big cow bluefin caught. I know the Royal Polaris had several, you know, several big ones over 200 pounds yesterday. Carl, who we work with at the tackle store, he's on the Intrepid right now. They had big cows yesterday. I know everybody. It's just all things are at play. You could be on a 10-day trip right now that sees great wahoo fishing, great yellowtail fishing. Limits of like school size tuna, and you could catch a 100-pound yellow, or you could catch a 200-pound bluefin and a 200-pound yellowfin on the same trip.
Yeah,
pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and to be able to spend that time in January, start the new year right.
Carl and I were texting yesterday from the boat. He said, you know, I can't remember a time when a boat had you know, multiple 200-pound bluefin and wahoo that were in the same water.
Jeez.
Pretty crazy what's
going
on right
now. Good fishing
right now. Yeah, no doubt about it, man.
Yeah. Hey, Phil from Costa Mesa says, this is my favorite show with the pilots. What year did they start seeing volumes of bluefin tuna? Was it before we started catching them on our bite numbers? And have we seen any of the giant bluefin that used to be rumored around the Channel Islands?
Good question.
Well, the fish have been here all the time. We used to see big numbers. I started fishing with the purse seiners in 78 or 9. And we'd see big numbers, but we wouldn't see the big size. And we would catch, I mean, I've had 1,000-ton days.
Wow.
Back in the day. And it's always been around, but the reason the sport boats never targeted it, because it was tough to catch. And there was lots of albacore at the time.
Ah.
Everybody was, you know, albacore or yellowfin was the thing. So I have to say the bluefin have been around, but never as good as it is now because of what the Mexican companies have done to make it work. And Ted Dunn was a big part of that, too, because he was down at that time. And that's what's... And thank God that they did it, because what would the sport boats be doing now if it weren't for the bluefin?
Yeah.
Because right now there's no albacore, very little yellowfin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything has its purpose.
Yeah, for sure. So you think that was like in the albacore years then, like in the
Yes, exactly.
And of course, one of the things that changed a lot is the fishing at night.
the sport boats.
Oh, yeah, no, that's...
So do the seiners fish at night?
Oh, we used to be, that's when we would really target the bluefin and the tuna fishery, because it was tough for us to catch them with the Pedro fleet, because they're smaller nets, shallower nets.
Mm-hmm.
Nighttime, we'd get them. Yeah. So nighttime, we always targeted them nighttime.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and then as far as giants go, in 84, we got some thousand-pounders.
84.
In 84. And now you're seeing larger fish all the time, because you guys have to realize the Pacific Coast here, the West Coast, is the nursery for the bluefin. They're hatched in the Sea of Japan. They come over. They live here until they get to be 300-400 pounds. Then they go back to spawn.
Uh-huh.
And so really this is
the
nursery for them.
For the little three
yeah,
or
they come over here. Yeah, they come the over babies. Here. At, yeah, they come over here at 10 kilos.
Wow.
Or smaller.
Uh-huh.
They stay here normally until they get to be 300 pounds, and then they start going back.
Working their way back.
Yeah, going home.
Carl, have you seen, I mean, you used to spot big bluefin back on the East Coast. Have you seen that kind of fish out here at all?
Before it was 1988.
Oh, excuse me.
I was the guy who found him.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know
the
that.
Guy. I was the guy who found him.
Oh, okay.
I was on my way to I was flying for a boat, and we quit fishing in September, and a bunch of the boats, the tougher boats, all went to Morro Bay where there was swordfish up there, and they were fishing, you know, 10, 15 miles off the beach and whatever. And I thought one day, it was October. Late October, and it was Santa Ana down here. It was just super nice, like it is now. So I took off out of L.A. here, and I was going between Santa Rosa and Santa Cruz Island, the gap, and I was at 2,500 feet, and I was listening to see if I could hear some of the boats up there, because you don't have phones or anything back then.
Yeah.
in 88. So I'm flying along, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking out my airplane, like for swordfish, and it's oil everywhere. I look down, and I get into the Gull Canyon there at Santa Cruz, and I see this chevron, you know, huge chevron, of fish, you know, and I'm like, I'm listening to the guys up there, and all of a sudden the guys are like, you know, it's blowing 25 up here, we're still on the chute. I guess it was northwest up there, and I thought, oh, okay. So I drop down thinking they're porpoise, you know, I'm like
because
waiting.
You're up so much higher than you normally would.
Yeah, that was 25, like I don't normally, well, you can see them, but, you know, I mean, it's just different.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to drop down, but they're not coming up for air, you know. And I was thinking, you know, but I've never seen porpoise swim in a chevron, you know. But so I drop down, I'm looking, I'm going, those are tuna. So I call my buddy, who flew out of Compton also, and I told him, and I said, he was a seiner pilot. They were working at Point Doom. And so I finally got down close enough to him to call him on the radio, and I got a hold of him on the aircraft, because I called the boats. I said, hey, tell Jerry to get on, you know, my airport channel. So he came on the airport channel. I told him, I said, hey, I saw a bunch of tuna up here, you know, I didn't know any better back then. I was like, can I get one of your boats to come up here and I can, you know, catch them with him? He's like, no. So I'm flying down, still flying down that way, and I see one of the other airplanes go up, his partner or whatever, and they went up there, and evidently that day, one of their boats or two of their boats raced up there trying to catch them, but they couldn't catch
them.
They tried.
If he would have called the right guy, he would have got a piece of it.
I'm getting paid back now.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what you did for a living. So,
I didn't get a penny. I remember the guy telling me, he goes, yeah, I got like a $26,000 check for that one. I'm like,
those were 1,000-pounders?
Oh, those were the ones, they caught. They ended up catching a month later because they tried all day long to try to catch them.
Did they purse them?
Yes.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow. What a great story.
Yeah, that's unreal. Yeah.
I don't know how many fish total were brought in, maybe 150?
Oh, no, there's a lot more than that.
Because one guy had 100, right?
Oh, yeah, no, we made, that fish was so big, we caught them all nighttime. You would set on them and you'd see, they'd go up to the net, and you can, you know, you're seeing the wake, and they got their nose against the net, and their tail's going, and pretty soon it just goes through the net.
Just
punching holes in the net.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you have a great text, Rick?
Yeah, well, yeah, but I'm still fascinated.
I know.
I was looking at my phone.
Oh, these stories.
Yeah, well, speaking of bluefin, I did get a text from Mike, and he just said he apologized about the phone issues, but they're really hoping to get next Friday's trip off the dock. They haul out on the 15th, so there's not a ton of time left to get out on the trip.
Better get on it now.
But, yes, they do have a trip on next Friday and are hoping for the opportunity. The next text I had brought up was from Jeff in Mission Viejo. He says, man, what a great show, you guys. My question is for Adrian. When you're flying over the bluefin, can you tell in the air the difference between bluefins and yellowfins when you're flying in the air?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough, but, yeah, sometimes you can check the difference about the color, and that's the way you can, you know, see the difference. But, it's, I mean, sometimes you can get confused, but... But you need to check very well, and the color change.
Sure.
Yeah.
The color change.
Yeah.
And their actions for me, you know, bluefin act completely different than yellowfin. A lot of times yellowfin will have double flashers, and the shiners for the bluefin are single shiners. There's a lot of different things you can tell.
Have you guys ever had a mistaken ID on the boat? You know, you put somebody on something, hey, this fish is X size, and it ends up not, or it's this species, and it's not any of those early in the career days?
Why did you ask?
I just curious. Carl flashed me a wink when so there had to be a good story there.
I'm dying to jump in on this one.
Okay.
when I first started the purse seine thing, we didn't have any regulations as far as bluefin or yellowfin or whatever we were catching. It was tuna. So... I remember these guys getting on the radio, and they would set a guy and catch fish, and the guy would come on and say, hey, we got him, you know, we got whatever, and he'd be like, what'd you get, bluefin or yellowfin? And it'd be like, you guys don't know. I mean, I didn't know at the time. I never thought of it, and I think about it now, what I know now, because we had to try for a long time. The fish, the bluefin were all the same size as the yellowfin.
Okay.
And it is... I mean, almost impossible for us to tell the difference, especially if it's overcast or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
I can't imagine.
It's just, you know, you can tell by the way they swim, but more than likely you're going, you know, it's just too easy to catch. It's bluefin.
Yeah. you know, one of the easiest ways to tell is if there's a sport boat comes through and they get hooked up, is yellowfin.
Yeah.
I remember the day I had the fortunate opportunity to go flying with you, and we saw so much bluefin. And then you said, well, I got to go down south and see if we can find something. And you actually spotted a small group of yellowfin, and it was totally different.
Yeah.
You were pointing out the differences in how they look and such like
right.
that.
Right. So. At nighttime, it's the easiest thing in the world to tell. Daytime, it's tough. But nighttime, easiest thing in the world. They swim so different. Uh-huh. I mean, yellowfin will... You'll see a popper here and there, and they'll go away. Bluefin, you'll see a popper, but it immediately goes back to the school. I mean, they act so different.
What about the lessers? What about like big eyes or albacore or anything like that? Those have their own characteristics.
Albacore white, more or less. We used to catch some albacore when I first started doing the bluefin with them. We'd sat on a school of bluefin, and you could tell the albacore, they were more just white spots in the back of them.
Interesting.
And
yeah.
So and the albacore wouldn't survive in the pens or the nets.
Really?
Much. They would almost die immediately.
Yeah, because they're so fragile.
Yeah.
And, you know,
honestly. They need to cool. They got to cool down to cool their bodies.
And honestly, we really never got a chance to fish that much big eye. We've caught a lot of big eye, don't get me wrong, but never enough to really, really.
Yeah. Get the
right, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
Well, I have an interesting question here from Tommy in Rialto that's kind of related to, they're all kind of related. And thank you guys for all the texts. We're flooding. We're going to try and get to as many as we can here. Tommy, good morning. Enjoy your show as always. Do you guys ever worry about hitting drones or being replaced by them? That's a good question because there's a lot of drones out there, right?
Yeah.
Probably we're not where you guys fly.
Supposedly, they're not supposed to go above 400 feet.
Ah, okay.
But I don't even know what the law is for them to be flying around out here. But, you know, now the military's got drones and stuff, and they call us all the time. So we got unmanned, you know, vehicles out there, and it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We had to deal with F-18s and P-3 Orions, you know. down at our altitude, and
yeah.
Before you know it, you're looking at a P3 Orion. It's like, time to go.
Let's get out of here.
You win.
Yeah, because you're fishing over the base, basically, over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. And they constantly call us and tell us to get out of there. But it's, you know, we're allowed to be there.
Yeah.
Where it's not restricted.
No.
So it's a warning area. And we understand that. And we, a lot of times, I had to learn from these guys, from the original standard pilots, is just turn them off. But the other thing was, a lot of times you just say, you know, like, well, thank you for the warning. You know, I mean,
sure.
You know, they're calling you on the emergency channels to tell you that there's a jet or they've got a hot area or something. They're dogfighting or doing something, you know. And so sometimes if we get really nervous sometimes I used to say, you know, thanks for the warning, but I got to go home.
Yeah.
You know, like when we're coming home from the mushroom or the boomerang or whatever, we got to fly through that area, and they're like, we need you to go up, you know, around the island up towards San Nick. And it's like, dude, I only got so much fuel. I'm
I got to go 4 hours of delay here.
Thanks for the warning, I'm going straight.
Yeah. Just don't shoot me.
Yeah, well, I don't think they shoot us, but yeah.
You would hope.
I've had them dogfight us and chase me a couple times.
Have they really?
Oh,
on a jet?
Yeah, F-18s come buzzing by it, right at your altitude, and they're just circling you. I mean, I was circling a school of fish and trying to put some guys on it or whatever, and I was telling him, like, God, this guy is, like, I mean, like, right next to me, and he's buzzing me, and he's going. I'm like, if I hit his wake, I'm done, you know? And I was like, I got to get out of here. So I flew straight, and he got on the radio and called Beaver Control and said, hey, there's an F-18. They give him free time.
Sure.
And he probably didn't know what he was doing, and, you know, knew what he was doing, but he didn't know what
he was messing with. You.
He was
he didn't know what was, you know, the consequences that we could hit some of his wake, you know. I mean, we're that close to water.
Wow.
You can always tell when they're goofing with you because they'll come by real slow. They'll have their gear down, trying to go as slow as they can, and
crazy.
Yeah, but you don't want to get behind the jet, right?
Well, not when they're hauling ass. I don't know about the wake turbulence and stuff like that, but
yeah.
But that's no longer clean air. Your plane doesn't.
Yeah, when you're circling, you know, you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
And you're usually going slow, you know. So.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy.
Crazy.
Lots of stuff to watch for.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Well, hey, another great one says, good morning, guys. What a great show this is. I'm curious what to know what the largest school you guys have personally ever set on or another type of record that you're proud of. And that's from Randy.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something. The last set I was involved in, I got 350 tons of the big bluefin. I mean, it was a 200-pound fish, 100-kilo fish.
Wow. Wait, how much? 350?
350 tons, and they saved every fish. I think they had 6 fish die because it was all going into the pens.
Wow.
This year, friggin' Adrian topped me by 200 tons.
500
tons? By 200?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 500 tons.
And the average was 80 kilo fish.
160-pound fish.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. And that's kind of your target fish, that size fish?
Mm, yeah, we don't fish less than 40 kilos.
Anything less than 40 kilos?
No,
less than
100
pounds.
Yeah, 100-pound fish.
Yeah. If we see the small ones, we just see it, and we don't catch those. Yeah.
That's why we're seeing so many big fish the next year.
Yeah, right.
Wow, crazy. While we've got Adrian talking, I have from Wayne Cotto, our co-host Wayne, says, great show today. Thanks for Adrian for all you do with your outstanding staff at Sedro Sport Fishing, all you do for anglers. Thank you to Rosie and all of the improvements and customer service she has brought the operation. What is in store for the future? So there is a lot of exciting stuff at Sedro Sport Fishing. I want you to tell us about it.
And right now we're working on Lodge 2. We're going to make it for next year.
You're building a new lodge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we already have 2 bungalows, and we're building another 4.
Uh-huh.
And we'll be ready, and it's going to be next to the Lodge 1. Next to
right next door.
Yep.
Yeah. So basically it'll be 2 completely separate operations still,
uh-huh,
with their own dining room, their own chefs, their own manager and everything.
Correct.
Their own pongas.
Uh-huh.
And
the same.
But right next door.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, that'll be fun.
That's really
cool. So, and it'll hold 12, just like Lodge 1.
The same, and there's going to be a bridge that, you know,
connects. So you can have a big party if you want
exactly.
to, right?
Yep.
But you stagger the dates so that,
yes,
one group may not have the same, won't have the same dates as the other group. So it'll be overlapping groups,
exactly,
maybe, something like that.
Yeah.
So, and that'll be finished for this coming season, right?
Yep. Yeah, yeah, that's the plan.
And when you see a bungalow, these are each individual rooms with their own bathrooms and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they have bungalows for two people and their own bathroom.
Bathroom, yeah. Yes. And then a whole separate dining room. Too.
Yes, correct.
Wow.
Probably nice, too, because now that the operation has been successful over so many years, like now you get to take a step back and build it, you know, build it knowing, okay, well, we know what works, we know what we wish we had, so now you're getting the opportunity to build this from scratch, having... Yep. Gosh, what is it now? 15 years of, you know, running
yeah, almost,
down there?
Like, almost 20 years.
Yeah,
yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
20 years?
I'm excited
yep.
to see.
Wow.
Yeah, remember the first test was 2006.
Yeah.
So since then, we started, you know.
Yeah, next year is 2026. Yep. So it'll be your 20th anniversary.
And the people there in Cedrus, his crew in Cedrus, they're
amazing.
The greatest people. I miss Cedrus more than anything.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite as much as missing the fishing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Cedrus, that was a special place. They used to joke when we first got there, if you guys could have seen it, what it was like when we first got there. We were riding in the back of a pickup with gas barrels
yeah.
to go fuel the airplane.
Yeah, I love it.
The road was not paved. It was just a salt road, rough. I mean, the hotel we were staying in, I mean, it was rough. And what they've done and what
it's class.
Yeah, it is. Mm. It is so cool. And they used to tell us the Bruja is going to get you. The Bruja is the witch. When we first got there, we couldn't wait to get our fish and get the hell out of there. And
yep.
and as the years went on, it finally, you fall in love with
yeah,
the place.
No doubt.
It's very, very, very cool.
No, I remember the very, very first tester trip that we went on, and you know, you guys were saying the same thing. What do you think about it? You think this is something people would want to do? And this is it. There was no question. And we went in an early time of year.
Windier in the Dickens.
But before things were established, but it was then so obvious. Oh my God! Yes, absolutely yes. And just think of where it has been, you know, where it came to from that. It's so.
You know, you guys always used to kid me, and I've got to make a confession here. You guys used to kid me, Tom. You ever go fishing? And I'd say one at a time. I said, are you nuts?
Carl's shaking his head. Yeah.
But Pete got me going up to Queen Charlotte Safaris.
Yeah. Hideaway Safaris.
I gotta tell you. I've had so much fun the last 2 years. We've rebooked again. I actually caught some one at a time.
Hey,
it's a blast.
With your wife and your friends. And you're going again with us in August?
Yes.
I
am. Oh, yeah. No, it's a blast.
No.
And I got one of the pins.
Oh, okay.
So.
Valerie runs such a great.
Oh yeah, no, she does. She's
so
great, great crew. Another great crew.
Yeah.
I keep telling Adrian, I wish Valerie would go down and see Adrian's operation. And Adrian should go up and check out Valerie's. But they're very similar, top-notch everything.
Yeah. But the thing about Cedro Sport Fishing, and you were talking about the experience that Rick and I had in that April of 2006. The fishing was good, but the experience with the people there
was what really
made it. And it was like, that's what we just said, this place is amazing.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it special.
Exactly. And the way we do it is like a family style. All the crew is families, all they know each other, and that's why, you know, we keep it like that, like a Mexican style family, when you know the dinner and all that, you know, the food.
Yeah.
And all, so
that's why you have the best operation down there. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including a lot more of these great stories. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live.
It's sales event time, and it's happening now at your San Diego County Ford dealers. The Ford year-end sales event has limited-time offers featuring Ford Bronco and Bronco Sport with the standard 4x4 capability and GOAT modes. Goes over any type of terrain. I'll be taking my own Bronco Sport around to tackle my holiday to-do list. Shopping for the perfect gift? How about the Ford Explorer? It's the all-time best-selling SUV that can fit the whole family this holiday season. Inventory is arriving daily with a great selection to take your test drive. Come see the award-winning lineup yourself before the year ends. Hurry into your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Time to talk about great gear from Shimano, and I tell you, we're talking to Sedros, just makes me think about Trank reels, right?
Totally.
The 500 for a surface iron.
I mean, the lineup. The lineup, yeah. If you wanted to buy the perfect setup of three reels for going to Cedro Sport Fishing, you get yourself a Trank 300 for fishing your 5-inch lead head and swim bait and all that great calico bass fishing. You get a Trank 400 for fishing weedless swim baits and all the hard jerk baits, and you get a 500 for casting surface iron to yellowtail. You've got all the bases covered on the same reel. They're fantastic.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Can you just put your favorite PowerPro line on there, whatever you want to do, and talk about the ultimate kelp cutter rig.
It is, and the reels are so user-friendly. The braking system that's on Trank's, you can dial that thing up where an inexperienced caster can flawlessly cast a bait casting reel without backlash. Or if you get it in the hands of an expert angler like old Tom Green over here, you can back all it off and get amazing performance without having any of the assist. They're a fantastic set of reels.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check Seaforth Landing.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning, talking fishing and talking flying to go along with it. It's been a great morning, and man, it's crazy how fast the show's rolling by, but the texts are still coming through. Lots of great text messages and still plenty of time for you to send in yours. Again, it's only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app, and make sure you include your contact info when you do.
All right, you have a good one?
I thought so. This was for us. Says, what's everybody? This might be my favorite show of all time. Having a lot of fun listening. Wondering if the boys could share what their craziest place that you've ever seen a tuna where you're thinking, well, there's no way that fish is here, whether it be close to the coast, seeing bluefin on the coastline, etc. Thanks for all the dope and everything you guys have done to help keep us as a fleet on the fish.
Well, I don't know about the, you know, we've caught tuna right up against Coronado Islands. I've caught them right up against
Clemente.
Well, yeah, right up against Clemente, where you actually step. If you stepped off the skiff, you'd be on the land. They're right up.
Wow.
And
really?
I've got them off the La Jolla kelps.
Yeah.
I'll never forget one time I was fishing, and I was outside San Nick about 60 miles. And had the boats there, and I whacked them really good that day. And one of the old-time fish spotters, Jack Martisich, says, Green, why would you even look out there? And I said, well, because that's where they are. Like he was mad because he had to go so far offshore to get them. It was pretty funny.
Cool. Yeah, that is funny. Well, I have another great text here from Charisse, and this is an interesting question, and I've often wondered this too. So good morning, everyone. Great show today. My question is, do we have tuna pens? Why don't we have tuna pens on the California coast?
Thank your governor for that one.
Oh, it's Nuisless again?
Federal too.
Well, they shut us off. I mean, they virtually made it where it's impossible to do, because then now you've got to catch sardines. Now you've got to do this. I mean, it's sad. It's just like, you know, when I started fishing tuna, 78, I believe it was, this for the purse seiners, they were getting $1,000 a ton for bluefin, $1,200 a ton for the yellowfin. You know what the price of the bluefin is today for up there?
How much?
About $800 a ton now.
Wow.
Because they shut all our canneries down and sent them overseas because the rules and regulations got so tough for our canneries. That's why they went overseas.
Yeah.
So they just, little bit by little bit, they pushed us out.
But why would that happen? Like a live fishery like tuna pens, why would that affect
regulations?
That?
Oh, you got to be here, you got to be there. That
you can't catch sardines for this. You can't, you know, there's just so many rules and regulations.
Uh-huh.
Why is it that they've only built one house or two houses up there since the fire started?
Right. Well, I hate to say I'm going to argue with you about the canneries. I'm glad they're gone. Because they've caught a lot of fish.
Well, the fish that we still catch, we have to come in and unload it in the Pedro area.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why the price of the fish is $800 to $1,000.
We've got to
freeze it.
Because they freeze
it
and then ship it over there.
It's not that, you know, but a lot of times it doesn't come up here to the U.S.
Uh-huh.
I mean, before I started fishing, I mean, these guys were fishing in the 70s and 80s. There was no... The Magnuson didn't come in until 86 or something.
Yeah, no, we were fishing in Mexico.
You could fish 12 miles off the beach.
Yeah, that's
Mexico.
I mean,
all Americans.
Yeah, I fished down below Cedrus in those years.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now the regulations is because...
Well, it's 200 miles.
It's 200 miles.
And I would say also with the pens being here, it's a labor intensive.
Yes.
You know, and then the amount of money that it would take to do it, and then you'd have to compete with Mexico.
Yeah.
And Australia.
How many tons total... is the quota for the pens? You guys know?
This year is going to be around 5,000.
5,000 tons.
Yeah.
Which is nothing, right?
And the U.S. is, well, generally only about 350 to 400, 425 or something like that. But since we haven't caught any bluefin in 5 or 6 years, they're either going to take it away from us. But they told us they finally, you know, gave us our regulations. It was only 10 or 15 ton per trip, per day. You could only catch that much. So we couldn't make any money.
That was from.
So now the fish is more, but it's the same price as squid. So they'll just, you know, what's so hard about catching?
Yeah.
Why go
yeah.
catch squid?
You go get a load of squid or 10 ton of tuna. Yeah.
Or go run out, you know,
no fuel.
3 or 4 days trying to catch bluefin, which are hard to catch during the day. Very, very hard.
Yeah. You've already got a boat that's got the squid lit up, and you know you're going to drive to it. He knows the volume's there. He turns the lights on. You
exactly.
know you're going to wrap it. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, same price.
Yeah.
All right, so I have a text here that's rated and didn't leave his name, so sorry, no prize. But it's a good question. He says, I can't find Carl's Instagram. Could you please spell the name? So Instagram is Air Pelikia, right?
Yeah, AirPelikia.
Okay, and then Facebook is, for us old guys.
Carl, C-A-R-L, and then Sparunas, S as in Sam, B as in boy, A-R. O-U-N-I-S.
All right, so I've been mispronouncing your name the whole
time.
Well,
the B is like a P, so it's like Spar. S-B-A-R is Spar. Sparunas.
Sparunas. Okay, so spell it again.
S as in Sam, B as in boy, A-R-O-U-N-I-S. My name is also on Instagram with my Air Pelikia.
With your Air Pelikia.
It's underneath there, so you can...
And then if somebody wants the calendar...
But that's Facebook.
Yeah, if somebody wants the calendar, they can either message you on Instagram or... Facebook, and then
I'll get the details, and then you could tell them to Venmo or whatever. Leave your name and address, and that way I can.
And how much is the calendar?
I've been charging $60.
That's a bargain.
Awesome. It's
a few years ago, I used to charge $80. I don't know why.
Yeah,
but they used to cost more. You know, now they're.
I mean, the pictures. Every picture in there is frame worthy.
Oh yeah,
that's the crazy thing about it
is you could take this calendar and frame every picture and have like.
But I also sell pictures.
Wow moments.
You can buy pictures and put them on a frame, and put them, you know, in your house.
Oh really?
On my profile on Air Pelikia, there's a link there, and it's for a Smug Mug. And you go on there and look at all my pictures.
Oh.
I haven't really updated it in the last couple of years.
That's on the Instagram?
That's on the Instagram one. Uh-huh. You know what? I should probably put that on my Facebook, too.
And that's a cool site. So you can pick the picture you like the most, and then you can decide what you want done with it. You can have it framed.
You can get a print,
or you can
get a metal, or you can get a canvas.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I had a canvas made. I had a swordfish one last year, and I had a canvas made that was like either... I think it was 42, like 30 by 42 or something big. And I was just to see what it was like.
Yeah.
And it was like, $180, some cheap place. I had it like Walmart or something.
Yeah.
I just sent it in and got it back. And I was like, you stand back and look at it, it looks like it's behind glass.
So it was so shiny
and it was on canvas. But when you got to look, it was a canvas. You know? And it was like, I just had to see a canvas.
Yeah.
I'd never done one, you know.
I love it.
Because a lot of guys had done some of the tuna.
But there's so many amazing, like, look at that bluefin picture.
Yeah.
It's got a fade in it. You can't see it. If you're looking on Instagram, it's hard to tell.
The big foamer that you have in there where there's like thousands of pieces of bait being sprayed at the same time with this. Yeah,
that
one
right there.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Look at that one.
It's so cool.
I mean, these pictures, every one is frame worthy.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. They're fun to take. I had a few guys teach me how to do it and tell me to get bigger lenses and, you know, like, I'm moving too fast. I'm at 800 feet and I'm going 90 miles an hour. Yeah. And the plane is bouncing and, you know, you're going in a circle. And
shots, though, they look like they're taken on a tripod.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
And his movies are, think about the motion in that airplane, and his movies are phenomenal.
It took a while to do that.
We talk about it in the shop all the time. If you're into fishing, it's everybody's favorite thing to follow.
One thing different about the plane versus a drone is you have to see the fish from the boat. Right. And half the time, you know, you watch guys run up on a school of boil or whatever, and by the time you get there, you could be, you know, a quarter mile, half mile away and send a drone over. You might be able to, you know, get some pictures. You might lose your drone. I know a guy that's already lost two or three, you know, unless you're good.
Yeah,
you know, and he's good with it, and he's still lost a few. But airplane's completely different than a drone.
Well, I'll tell you the biggest difference between the drone is there's not one of you three behind it. I mean, you've been fishing your whole life, and you talked about that, you know, watching the spot develop and watching it be in below and come up. And I'm sure there's been 1,000 times where you guys have seen the bait without the fish on it or vice versa, or you know, a big foamer doesn't start as just whitewater when you come up on. I'm sure every story you've seen it happen, and it takes a fisherman to know that.
I was, you know, we call them breezers for a reason, because it looks like there's a breeze on the water. One day I'm flying along, and there's a breeze, a wind streak. It's got to be 2 miles long. So I'm flying along. I don't even look down. I'm flying along. I look down. That wind streak was a breezer. It was all fish. It was unbelievable. Wow. One of the biggest schools of fish I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. 2 miles long.
Minimum.
I remember when I was flying with you. It's like, hey, there's a breezer. I was like, where? But your eyes are so trained.
Yeah.
That you see stuff that other people can't.
Well, I went out on the boat with you. Remember, we went out. To one of the pens or something. I forget what we were doing
Coronado
on your boat.
Maybe?
Yeah, we went out in Coronado.
Yeah.
And we were finding breezers that day.
Yeah.
Remember, we ran on them?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty amazing. You have a great text?
I thought so, yeah. It's from John and Mira Mesa. It says, gentlemen, this is a fascinating show. Could you describe / compare the differences or challenges in working in daylight versus nighttime?
Well, of course, daylight, you can see schools 5 miles away. On a greasy, slick, calm day, you can see them so far away. Nighttime, it's what's underneath the airplane. You're not going to see them any distance away. But nighttime catching is 100 times easier than daytime, except for Adrian. He's got the big boats and the big nets. They get them.
Yeah. Hey, Rob in the OC has an interesting question. He says he's a pilot. And he wants to know, he's a single-engine pilot, and he spent time flying over the water. Tom and Carl and Adrian, have you ever seen something that you can't explain? Adrian, you're pointing at Adrian. Go.
Yeah, well, like almost hit, well, you, what do you call that?
A UFO.
Yeah, I see it. I thought it was an airplane, but it was moving so different. So I turn on the lights, and as soon as I turn the lights, come to me straight. So, but I of course, I move the airplane. That way, if I didn't move the airplane, it hit me.
He got it on video.
Really? No way.
Well, no, they come from History Channel. They come to.
They wanted to see it.
Yeah, and I have a show that it was they introduce
something unexplainable.
Yeah,
right?
So they come, they call me, and
get right in front of me.
They call me, and so they come to interview about that.
Wow!
And it was happened the same thing to the U.S. Airplanes.
Yeah.
So in the same area, so it was that's why they.
Yeah. Carl, Great. Carl, you seen anything?
You know, I don't know. Everything's kind of explainable, but I mean, I was fishing one night for bluefin, one of the only times we've ever done it. I was off the east end of Catalina, maybe a little further out. And this ship kept coming by. And it would, you know, in the Navy, or, you know, they don't have all their lights on. And I'm trying to look at it. I'm like, you know, looking at my boats. I see my boats, and I see this boat going by. And I know it's a big old ship or something, but I go, you guys see that ship over there? They're like, no, we don't see anything. And I'm like, it was just, you know, they have the green lights or something on their number or something on the side. I think I just like, come on.
Like a ghost ship.
Yeah.
How are you not seeing this?
Yeah, don't you guys see this? They're like, no, we're...
You're scratching your eyes.
Yeah, well, maybe it was a couple miles away. I don't know, but that was the only thing that was bugging me, and they wouldn't come back to me on the boat and say, yeah, there's a ship over there. It's like, they wouldn't answer.
Interesting. Yeah. Rick, you have a good one?
I thought so. Well, there's an unlimited amount hard to grab. This one was, thanks for another very interesting show and the service provided by this team of great pilots. I was interesting to hear if the pilots have any experience with moon phase in regards to tuna fishing, full moon, new moon, etc. Do you tend to see better tuna fishing, or is there any effect? And that's from DJ in San Diego.
You know, we fish every day hard, and sometimes you see them on the phase, but when they're there, they're there. It doesn't matter the phase, in my view. Oh, well, nighttime, you can't fish when you got a moon because it's too bright.
Ah, too much glare.
Yeah, it's got to be pitch black.
No moon.
Yeah, no moon, and it's the best conditions is maybe a 1,000-foot ceiling, 5-6 miles vis. Then whatever's underneath you, it looks like a spotlight showing at you.
It glows up on like the phosphorescence or whatever it is.
Exactly, that's what it is.
You're seeing the fireball in the water.
Yeah, if the moon came up, we pretty much left. The white glare from the moon just on the water, like daytime.
Wow.
You know, you can't wear sunglasses at night or anything.
As soon as the moon comes up, you go home, you'd take off, and you try to time it.
Yeah.
So when the moon's going down, you're over the grounds.
That's so cool, man.
Very
so cool.
Hey, Bill in Leucadia has an interesting question. Let me bring it up here. And he says, talk about yellowtail. It seems this year we didn't have the amount of yellowtail we normally have, especially with the Coronado Islands and such. Did you guys see a lot of yellowtail? No.
This year was like last year or the year before or something. The kelp patties have just been dry.
Dry.
Absolutely dry. I mean, I might have seen maybe one or two Dorados this year. And I see probably maybe one patty with a couple yellowtail on it. That's it. I mean, I saw some yellowtail at Clemente. I see them there, but not very often. You know, I fly the island real tight. And
this picture right here that's a yellowtail picture.
Right, that's the yellowtail.
Yeah, I'll show it on the camera.
And that's right next to Clemente, and that's the only yellowtail I've seen. You know, I mean, in the open. Although I did see some firecracker yellowtail. I mean, huge schools of them. I was like, what kind of fish are those? You know, and I took pictures of them and everything else. And the only thing I could think of is guys were telling me that they did catch some...
A bunch of little ones.
Little ones. And it almost looks like mackerel, but they were, you know, I know the difference. Yeah. And they're just little ones. I go, that's the only yellowtail I saw.
It's interesting, too, because the guys down below, you know, on the ridge, they're having just unbelievable Dorado kelps. You know, but to the point where we heard, was it Captain Brian was talking about, like, they have to go into it. They have to go into it not putting any bait in the water, no live bait, no, just because they said the Dorado, you know, trying to catch Wahoo, but if you put just a single sardine, it'll light the entire ball up so much that you just then can't do anything but it. Like, there's such huge volume of it that's not that far away, you know.
And we never saw Dorado.
Not once.
Yeah.
Never seen any Dorado here?
No, it never came across the border.
Yeah. Now, that one year, what was it, 2 years ago? The Dorado were everywhere?
I think it was longer than that.
Was it?
Maybe it's kind of funny.
Well, that's
like,
what happens when you get old. Every year looks the same.
It's like everything now.
That 2 years ago? No, that was 10 years.
Yeah, I know.
You kind of got to relate things to COVID now. You know, it's like, well, that was five. That was 5 years ago. You know, and you're like, oh no, it was before COVID. We saw those Dorados. So we're talking 6 or 7 years ago.
7 years ago. But yeah, so we didn't catch them. You didn't see them this year. Yellow.
They're not here. Yeah. I mean, I looked.
Yeah. Totally. Hey, I had another fun one. We got time for another.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want this to end. That's my problem. Yeah. Watching the clock. Since good morning, Phil, I thought this was a really fun one. One interesting fishing question, and the other was just fun. Question for all the guys. What is your favorite food to eat while you're up there flying? I can't believe you got to spend 12 hours in a plane. Also, the fishing part of it, do you guys use binoculars while you're flying, or is everything just from your eyeballs? Also, do you ever have a co-pilot, or do you always fly solo? Those are all from Mark and Fallbrook.
I'll start. I fly solo, I usually every day when I go fishing, I take my lunch with me. I just make a turkey and cheese sandwich, bag of chips, and a soda or water or something in the ice chest, and off I go.
For me, I never eat anything. I always figured a hungry hunter was a better hunter. But I did drink a lot of coffee. And no, the only time I ever used binoculars normally was to, if I saw a boat in the distance, to see what boat it was.
Got it.
Yeah.
What about you, Adrian?
I like tuna sandwich and
chips. Yeah, he learned from me. But yeah. Tom used to always say, like, sometimes when we were Cedrus, he would get a lunch, somebody would make, or they'd make three lunches or something like that, and we'd get 10 miles away. It's like, he already ate my lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's in the airplane, I'll get it. Yeah. Yeah. Our friend Chris Minnick has a suggestion. He says, we saw as many as 25 purslane boats at a time on the upper ridge, like the 13 and the 23, targeting yellowfin tuna. Wondering, should we be concerned about that fishery? I was told it is unregulated compared to the bluefin.
Well, that's correct. It is unregulated compared to the bluefin. I don't believe they have a quota for their yellowfin fishery.
They just shut down.
Hey, before the show ends, I want to thank you guys for inviting us in. And do you know how long a reach you guys have? I had a buddy of mine call me. He says, Tom, I'm on Let's Talk Hookup, and it says the fish spotters are going to be on there. Are you going to be on there? And he's in Mississippi, my buddy Dave.
Okay.
My buddy in Prescott says, he did the same thing. He says, are you going to? I says, yeah, well, I'm going to be there. And he goes, oh, okay, good. So
no, it's,
you guys got a far reach.
Yeah, well, buddy. And thanks to all our listeners and such. And thank you guys for coming.
Yeah, totally. And I got to give one, too. I got my favorite fan of Let's Talk Hookup, Wyatt's home sick this morning.
Hi, Wyatt.
So he's with Grandma, and they're watching the show live. And I want to say good morning to Wyatt and Waylon and everybody. I can't believe how fast this 2 hours went by. What a great show and a great time. And when we come back, we're going to find out. We got more, and we're going to find out who's going fishing on board the Mission Bell as well as winning one of these amazing calendars from Air Pelikia. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app as well as Facebook and YouTube Live.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader with all-inclusive fishing trips to Cedros Island. We now have 2 lodges to choose from, and both sit on the cliff edge with relaxing ocean views and gorgeous morning sunrises. With direct flights departing from the CBS in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
Do you know why 1 million customers visited Summit Gasoline last year at the San Diego Sports Arena? Because they give you the lowest price on fuel. Great service and easy access, even for trucks and trailers at their 24 pumps. Summit is known for the best price on ice, too. Almost half the cost of any other vendor. 25 pounds for just $3.99. Martha and her crew love fishermen, and they'll prove it by giving you 100 pounds free with a 35-gallon fill-up. Summit offers over 40 snacks and drinks to choose from for only 89 cents, and even a line of hand creams and lip balms for 89 cents too. Summit now proudly offers locally made burritos and sandwiches, made fresh daily and ready to go wherever the current takes you. Summit just upgraded their car wash, and for a limited time, get a deluxe car wash for only $6. Grab the wife's car, grab a cheap sandwich, and make up for the day on the water. Summit Gasoline, lowest prices, friendliest staff, easy access, and free ice. What more can you ask for? For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day and full-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
One rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rockcod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently delivered deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher.
Fisher, everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear, literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and King Fisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me, book your trip to King Fisher Charters and you'll thank me. King Fisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, it's time to find out who's going fishing on the Bell. And again, winning one of those beautiful calendars. Adrian's going to do us the honors with the prize coin. Today we have a texter. Congratulations, Tommy in Rialto. You are stoked on that calendar. And you're going fishing with Captain Cameron.
Yeah, how about that? And thank you, guys. Thanks. It's really fantastic. Adrian, thank you for all you do and doing a great job with Cedro Sport Fishing. And thank you for being a part of the Let's Talk Hookup family here. Yeah. Tom, thanks for putting the band together.
Oh,
yeah, this is great, guys.
My pleasure. This has been a real treat for me to sit and reminisce.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to having you back. And thanks for driving all the way from Arizona to get here, too.
I hate to say it, but anytime.
And bringing the cookies, and thank you to your sister-in-law. Yeah. And Carl, again, how do we get the calendar? How do we find you?
Air Pelikia on Instagram, AirPelikia.
Okay. And then spell your last name again.
Last name, Sparounis, Sbarounis. Yeah. But there's more than one of us on.
Alex, the sports barber, wants to know if you're Greek.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. First, yeah.
Well, I only half.
Trust me, go buy that calendar.
Yeah.
It's so sick. It's so cool.
You're going to make me order more.
Trust me, there were several text messages that I got said, Rick, will you please buy those for the tackle store so we can just come in and buy one? They are really cool.
I know. I should probably hand a few off at some tackle stores.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thanks for spending the time here. And thank you all out there for being with us. We're going to be back tomorrow morning, 7 and 9 a.m. The boss is going to be here. Captain Frank Lopresti is going to be here. That's going to be great having Frank. 7 and 9 a.m. right back here on Facebook, YouTube Live, and, of course, the Let's Talk Hookup app and 97.3 The Fan. We'll see you then.